We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.
What's happening? How are you today? Tinky and Tierney coming here for the Tinky and Tierney Rocket Mortgage by Quicken Loan Studios. Home is more than a house. It's a personal paradise. Get yours with Rocket Mortgage. Push button, get mortgage on this Thursday around the country. How's everybody doing today? Tinky and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio, CBS Sports Network, Sirius XM 206. Interesting day. I was watching, as Tinky was, the Joe Judge press conference introduced as the Giants head coach.
Look, I was excited for this. Look, we saw Matt Rhule yesterday. He sounded okay.
But compared to
Joe Judge, he sounded like he was faking it. Joe Judge was like, dude, we're all about, you know, discipline, and we're going to be blue collar, and the New Yorkers and the New Jerseyans. Yeah. This is what we're going to represent. We're going to go to work. I was trying to get ready to get excited about my dude, Joe Judge. Well, at least my new dude, Joe Judge.
Yeah, you've had a lot of dudes the last couple of years.
Exactly. But then all of a sudden, I'm distracted
by
the nonsense of Brandon Tierney.
I didn't do anything. What are you pulling me into this?
Hold on. What the heck were you doing?
Listen.
Debating. I would say fighting, but it wasn't really a fight.
No.
It needs to be clarified. It wasn't a fight that you were having.
Not even close.
Not with anybody
on
Twitter.
With Kevin Durant?
With Kevin Durant,
no.
Dude.
This was a weird night.
Explain yourself,
please.
This
was a weird night. Let me take you through my day a little bit here. So sometimes when I tweet, I just like to tweet random things.
Yes.
Like it enters my mind, it enters my space, and I'll put it out there. So yesterday morning, I'm in my office, and I tweet, how the hell does Eric Bieniemy not have a head coaching job?
Yep.
Random thought. Matches the narrative.
We talked about it yesterday.
Sure. Then I write, Nets win 7 straight, nobody cares. Nets lose 7 straight, nobody cares. Speaks volumes. Then I moved on to this. As expected, Matt Rhule absolutely crushing his press conference. And then I wound up retweeting something from Discovery about Man versus Bear. So then last night, I get home from our show, and I scoop Jen and the kids up at the house, and we switch cars because Jen's car has the car seats for the kids. And we go to the local college, a small Division II school, just to watch the men's play and, you know, get a little popcorn, get out of the house. And D-Cell hits me up on a text message. He goes, yo, KD's going at you. Get after him. And this guy's like trying to egg me on.
Come on, D-Cell.
What's going on here?
Are you gassing our man up?
I don't even know what's going on. So then I open up my phone to see my tweets, and it's thousands. It's not ending. Basically, and I guess this is what's interesting about it. Kevin Durant doesn't follow me. So
somebody must have said something to him.
Somebody must have sent it to him, or maybe he did a random net search. I mean, he's got a lot of time on his hands rehabbing. I want to clarify one thing, although people who certainly are smart know this. I never once denigrated Kevin Durant.
Well, BT, hold on. You didn't even tweet about KD.
No, but in the ensuing tweets, which I had a tweet back at him
me. No, hold on. He responded to a tweet that you put out, not about him.
Uh-huh.
About the Nets.
Correct.
The Nets win 7 games.
No one cares.
The Nets lose 7 games.
Nobody cares.
Nobody cares.
And then I wrote, speaks volumes.
Exactly.
And he goes, but what does it say? So he wanted me to answer
and
that.
So you weren't going at KD
at all. Not even close.
And then he came back at you.
Yes.
Kind of. Not really came back at you.
A little bit. And listen, I wrote this, and you know, the way I comport myself on social media is the way I comport myself on the show. Yeah, I could get loud, but I'm classy. I like to think I'm above the fray. Now, if I got to get down in the weeds, I got no problem getting down in the weeds. People know that about me. But I don't know Kevin. I've honestly got profound respect for his career. He's great.
We've never had him on the show.
Nope. Maybe we will now. So I tweet this. I subtweet him after he hit me up. I go, nothing but respect for your – I'm doing this from the game, from the college game last night. Nothing but respect for your game, but the reality is simple. The Mecca had your name all over it, and you passed up the shot. I'm from Brooklyn, and it's in my blood, but New York City is all about the Knicks, and it always will be. And here's where I get a little zing, to be fair. I go, this is actually really good. So I got to give myself a little props here. This is pretty good. I go, at least Carmelo Anthony got in the batter's box and took a swing. And people know what I mean. Took a swing at the Knicks.
Yeah, exactly.
Because a lot of people thought that he kind of followed Kyrie, didn't want that smoke, whatever. Maybe, quite frankly, probably just didn't want to deal with the dysfunction that the dopey Dolan,
guarantee you that was 90%.
For sure. No doubt. So this morphed into this. I mean, I woke up to, you know, text messages from producers at every network like, yo, we're running your stuff. I'm like, I didn't really think that was a big deal. And I want to say this
it's
about
often
Kevin.
Those things that aren't a big deal that become a big deal.
I guess it's a slow news day. And then he wrote this back to me. He goes, the reality is you wanted me to do what you wanted me to do. I didn't. And now you feel some weird way about it. Get over yourself, bro. And he gives us a little props here. He goes, I know you got a little platform. All right, I'll take it. So I guess he thinks Tiki and Tierney's a little platform.
Hey, got a little platform. I'll take that. KD.
We got a little something more than most on Twitter.
Yeah, right.
He goes, but come out the clouds. It's not real. And what's really hysterical about this, and Get Up was running this. I didn't count this, but I heard Greeny say it. He tweeted 25 times at fans last night.
Yeah.
Now, what I want to say about Durant is probably counter to what people thought who were tuning in to see what I might say about Kevin Durant. I'm going to actually compliment Kevin Durant, like in all sincerity. I love the, see, the financial gap, the disparity between pro athlete, even scrub.
Particularly basketball players.
For sure. Not to mention one of the best players of all time, who's raking in 40-plus mil a year. The difference, the gap that continues to widen between Kevin Durant and LeBron and the average fan is incalculable.
That's right.
So the fact that he actually has a little back and forth and a little volley with fans, I think that's pretty cool.
Yeah, I thought it was really cool.
I really don't. Because it was a little thin-skinned, I'm going to be honest with you, but with the burner accounts.
True. That, I mean, that's old, though.
Well, but it's still part of who he and how he thinks.
It's part of his legacy, in a sense.
And sure. It is.
It's part of his social media legacy. It's not part of his, like, basketball legacy.
Well, no.
It's part of his social media legacy. But here's the thing. It was almost like he was bored and needed something to do and was having fun with it, because none of it was, like, really malicious.
No.
I mean, maybe some
other fans was.
Some of the trolls
for sure
got malicious with him.
Oh, yeah.
But he never really went that way.
Like, he dropped a couple of F-bombs
true,
to fans.
But it was like he was having fun with it.
Yeah, he was.
It was actually kind of cool to witness and go back and read, because, look, Kevin Durant right now is the one of the greatest players in the game. Obviously, he's not playing right now. We don't know how he's going to come back. Or I should say was one of the greatest players in the game. We don't know what he's going to be like post-Achilles, even though who do we have on like a 5 or 6 months ago? It's like, hey, it's not his jumping leg.
I remember that. It
right?
was
it's like his off
Dominique
leg.
Dominique Wilkins, who was it? Gilbert Arenas.
Arenas. It's like his Achilles was his off leg, so it's probably shouldn't bother him that much with his athleticism.
Mm-hmm. At least and for his fallaway jump shots,
and dunks and all those things and fallaways,
yep.
Which was really interesting. But anyway, so we're waiting for him to come back. He's waiting to come back. And so when you're waiting and just chilling.
Yeah, time could be your enemy.
Time is your enemy,
man. Or it could
be an asset. And you sit around, you start to draw some interest on social media to the Nets. Look, the reality is the Nets are a significantly better place right now than the New York Knicks. Now,
but that wasn't my point.
I know
my point was about relevance.
I know.
Not roster construction,
I
not direction,
but
not future trajectory.
Future relevance.
I'm not delusional here.
Future relevance when KD comes back and it looks like Kyrie might get surgery.
I saw that. No. I actually saw a report today that he has been cleared to practice.
Really?
Yeah, it was so...
That makes no sense.
Mike, just double check that.
Yeah.
I heard that on the way in. I don't know who said it.
Because I know as of yesterday, they were saying it hurts him to lift his shooting arm.
Correct. Almost like that thoracic or that, like Markelle Fultz. You start to worry about the structure of his shot, whatever. But then I heard today that he was basically practicing and I believe has been... I think the Athletic had this fully cleared to participate in full contact practice.
Practiced in full... Could be fully cleared to play soon.
That's a lot different than what we heard yesterday.
No, so whatever.
At least we know the Nets have good doctors.
They have contradictory doctors. That's for sure.
Or that.
But whatever it is, we're not going to know the full potential of the Nets until KD is playing and Kyrie is healthy and playing alongside with him. And then their trajectory can be wherever. Now,
true.
In order to even get close to the history of the Knicks?
Not even the history. The history is actually not very good.
Yeah.
It's just the presence is more. See, people misuse or twist the... Mm-hmm. Like, that's not the proper way to spin it. It's not like the Yankees have the history.
Yeah.
The Giants have the history. The Knicks have the presence. And sure, they've got that little, that well, I mean, more than a little blip with Clyde Frazier and Wilder Free, but that was before we were born. And Ewing didn't win a championship as great as much as I love Pat, didn't win. So the Knicks is about presence.
Yeah, they do have the presence. So, the only way for the Nets to take it.
They'll never take it. Well, doesn't matter what they do.
The only way for them to, at least perceptually, maybe not in New York, but around the country, they can take it if they go and win three championships. Mm-hmm. Like with those two guys.
Well, they won't, because I don't think Kyrie Irving's going to make it healthy. I just don't see him being healthy enough to make that kind of a run.
It's hard to argue that.
You know, I've got full confidence Kevin Durant's going to come back and drop 30 with his eyes shut. And he's going to be bouncy and relatively springy. And he's going to be one of the top three or four scorers right away the moment he steps on the court opening night next year. I have no doubts about Kevin Durant's ability to get back to where he was. And this isn't even about that. But listen, I think I really enjoyed this. And people were like, oh, you know, and then some of my buddies who, you know, I'm not going to, you know, read what they wrote. Oh, you know, don't take that. I'm like, you're reading it the wrong way. You know, they're like, go at him. I'm like, first of all, I hold myself to a certain standard.
Yeah.
You know, my
you
name.
You have to on social media.
Well, not only that, but yeah, and as I've gotten older and obviously as a father, what I write, you know, my children go to school with the same name.
Mm-hmm.
My wife has the same last name that she took when we got married 9 years ago. So, you know, things that I write, things that I put out there for public consumption, I mean, unless you really went at me, if you really went at me, then I probably say, you know, let's hook up and meet. Let's talk like men. No, really.
Yeah.
I'm not going to go back and forth and drop that far. I've never cursed once on social media. I really like that Kevin Durant does this. But, in jest, there's truth, right? And the fact that he responded to this, I believe, with all due respect to Kevin Durant, I believe it plays into the insecurities that I kind of pointed out on social media.
I don't know if he's
insecure. If he didn't feel it on some level, if he didn't think that on some level, I was a little bit right in him bypassing the state Broadway for off-Broadway, I don't think he cares.
Well, I think he wants to write his own story. And I think for a lot of his career, at least the important parts of his career, and I'm talking about with the Golden State Warriors, people were writing his story for him. Because he joined a winner, or an existing winner. It wasn't about him. It wasn't his deal, right?
No, it was the team that knocked him out of the playoffs.
That's
the
exactly
previous
right.
season.
And so there was a narrative that you know, despite the Finals MVPs and the superstardom and everything else, that was not ideal from his perspective. So he, in coming to the Nets as opposed to the Knicks, he gets to write his own story. And I think that's important to him.
Yeah, no, I agree
you
with
know?
That.
And it's funny because the one thing he said that you can't argue with is, I think, I don't know if this was his drop the mic moment, but he was like, you guys going to watch anyways. And you're like, you
but
know,
really not, though. Well, when he comes back.
When he comes back. Yeah.
Really
when he comes back.
These guys every
like,
night.
Yeah, you know what? You're right.
Oh, yeah, we'll watch you, Kevin.
We are going to watch
you. I don't refute that. I'm not even trying to. Yeah, we'll watch you. I want to watch you.
As do I.
You know, and I made sure to tell him, get healthy. You know, the NBA's better with you.
True.
You know, it does open up an interesting conversation. Want to get into this. Certainly, you know, it could extend from the Durant stuff last night with me. But, you know, maybe more broad-based. Just the interaction. Because some people do view it as weakness or
No,
I'm saying. You know some
do. Yeah, of course.
Weakness or petulance or insecurity or something that might distract them from when it's time to actually deliver on the court, independent of Kevin Durant again. I'm just saying in general. What do you think about the engagement of pro athletes with average fans? I mean, it's unique. Not everybody does it. Listen, most people don't want to deal with that nonsense. He invites it.
Yeah.
He's just a unique cat.
That's right.
He really is. I wish he'd come on the show. 855-212-4227, 1-855-212-4227, you know? But I certainly stand by my point about the relevance issue. You know, we can tweet until the cows come home. Ain't going to change the fact that he's playing for the Nets, which is off Broadway, and it's my home borough, so I hate to say that. My parents still live there. You know, I got immense pride in Brooklyn. I always have. I always will. Bell Parkway, Sheepshead Bay, Flatbush, Marine Park, Good Shepherd School. It's where I grew up. But it ain't the Garden, man, and it's never going to be the Garden, no matter what Kevin tweets or tries to tweet. All right, so let's get some calls on this. Inbounds, out of bounds coming up this hour as well. JLC, a little Jason Lockenfora. Got some divisional stuff for you coming up this weekend, and we'll tap into the Joe Judge press conference. Listen, press conferences don't do a damn thing for you in week one, but they could get back a little equity for a fan base and a franchise that needs it. So we'll talk about Joe Judge. I want to get your thoughts, what you heard from your new head coach. Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. CBS Sports Radio's toll-free line here on Tiki and Tierney is 855-212-4227, brought to you by Geico. Great news, quick way to save money. Switch to Geico. Go to geico.com and in 15 minutes save 15% or more on car insurance. Get some calls here coming up.
Yeah.
Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio.
Yeah, what do you guys think?
I mean,
BT off base?
No, BT's not off base.
I'm just kidding.
Just keeping it real, man. You know, I want to say this too, because I do think, and we're going to get these calls here, but I do think that, at least from what I've seen on social media, which is not always representative of the rational viewpoint, trust me, I'm well aware. But a lot of people say, they parachute in with this theory, at least pertaining to Kevin Durant.
Mm-hmm.
They say, you know, well, because he has this incessant need to inject himself into social media and to engage / monitor, that they construe that as being soft or being mentally weak, which I think is so wrong.
Yeah.
Because I would just flip back to you and say, where's the evidence that's ever permeated his game?
It's never permeated his game. I mean, he played with basically a half-torn Achilles.
And he was playing well. He didn't miss a shot, basically, before he got hurt.
Exactly. So
really hurt.
I can't buy into that narrative. But I do think that he's just of this generation. Right? Think if you're old enough to have teenage kids, and I am, right? My kids are constantly on social media. I mean, for them, it's like Snapchat, and they're taking these like stupid pictures of like half their face.
Oh,
and
God.
I'm like, what are you guys doing, man? Like, I don't even know what you're doing. And they're just sending them back and forth to each other. Here I am now. It's like, okay, this is behind me now, and this is behind me. Like, what are you doing?
You know what we would have been sending back in the day if we had that, things that we wouldn't have wanted to send.
Exactly.
But keep going.
Thank God social media wasn't around when we were young. But you know what I mean? So that generation and this fan base loves interacting.
Yep.
Right? And sometimes it's in person, but a lot of times it's on their phones. And so Kevin Durant buys into that. And you can imagine being him in New York City or whatever, Brooklyn, wherever he lives. I don't know exactly where he lives. Walking around, trying to be a normal guy. It's impossible.
I know.
Right? And so his way of interacting sometimes is just getting on his phone. It's safe-ish. Right, it's behind a platform, and he can say what's on his mind. Mm-hmm. And so I don't judge his game based on that at all.
No, but others have tried to position that as well. You know, it's that incessant need to know what people are saying about you. That is a character deficiency, which I disagree with.
I don't think that's a bad thing. I think knowing what people are saying. But I think, exactly.
Yeah.
I think being aware is a good thing.
I agree.
When you know what people are criticizing you about, then you can fix it.
That's
right?
True.
Our critics are friends. They show us our faults, right?
Mm-hmm.
And so if I'm Kevin Durant, of course you do that. Now, if I was playing, I'd probably be very different in my day.
You'd be very different.
Especially during the struggling part of my career.
Mm-hmm.
I would have got probably defensive about the fumbling issue and been throwing out stats. And, you know, this guy fumbled more than I did. This guy.
Beat him with intellect.
Exactly. Beat him with intellect. But, you know, I'll restate. The social media age was not there when I was playing.
Yeah, I hear you. And here's the other thing, too. It's like, you know, forget about whether you play pro basketball or a professional broadcaster, a banker, a lawyer, a cop, a fireman, or whatever you do in life, right?
Mm-hmm.
Or you stay at home and you're a stay-at-home mom or dad, right?
Hardest job in America.
Oh, it is.
I'm just telling you.
I thought forever, oh, geez, that would be so easy. Just sit around and watch TV and the kids go to school?
Nope.
It's holy hell. It is the toughest job. And it's the most important job.
Agreed.
And
thank you, Tracy.
Thank you, Jen, because I couldn't do what you do. So, but I also think that it's part of how you're wired, like mentally. Like, I don't like idle time. I'm the way my brain works.
Yeah, I know what you mean.
Like, I go, you know what I mean? Like, I go in my office in the morning, you know, after kids have their cereal. I'll take them to school once in a while, but Jen generally does. Today I had to go to St. John's to shoot something, right? So I'm in my office extra early, and I've got on ESPN on the TV. I'm reading a couple of articles. Obviously, today was a lot of KD stuff, but I'm reading the New York Times. I'm looking at NBA box scores, and I'm doing three or four different things. Now, for some people, they wouldn't be able to receive the four things, but however my wacky mind works, I'm able to channel four things coming at me and process it somewhat well as one.
Mm-hmm.
And if I'm just sitting around, and say if Jen's at the mall with the kids or whatever, I don't want to say that I'm uncomfortable with quiet. I'm not going to say that, because that's almost odd. But I do enjoy engagement more than complete solitude.
Yeah.
And sometimes the phone, social media, is an avenue to engage. It's not weakness. It's not toughness. It's sometimes boredom, but it's also stimulation.
That's right.
Generally like interacting with people, you know? All right, Eric is in Abilene, Texas, and we'll get his thoughts up. Eric is on Tiki and Tierney, CBS Sports Radio. Eric, what's happening, buddy? How are you today?
I'm doing well. I followed yesterday what went down with you and Durant, and I got your back, man. I grew up in Brooklyn, and you're 150% right, but you got to, I guess, grow up in that environment to know what you're talking about. This is a Knick town, period.
No, no.
Period. But Eric, if you're outside of it, like KD is, even though
he doesn't care about 40 years ago.
Yeah, but,
nor should he.
But he's from D.C. He's from the Baltimore. He should have some.
Well, he was growing up when Ewing was the man.
Yeah.
He knows the Knicks history.
Yeah, so
his agent is the biggest Knicks fan around.
That's right.
Spike Lee and a few other people.
That's a good point.
Kleiman is a huge Knicks fan.
He is a
crazy
huge
Knicks fan.
You're right. Last time I saw him at this, I told you, I went to this event. And he was there with me. So he was a panelist with me, and they were joking about, like, who's going to buy the Knicks after, I forgot how it came up. And I was like, this guy is.
Yeah.
Like, Rich Kleiman's going to buy the Knicks.
Kleiman's going to buy him. I also thought he was going to deliver him to the guard, but he didn't. You know, Eric, and here's the thing. You know, we tend to romanticize what was. You know that. You know, every year that 94 Knick team gets a little bit better. Mm. It's just the way the world works. What we intimately connect to is just inherently more important to us. So, you know, Kyrie Irving, those Knick teams didn't do anything for him. I get it. I don't begrudge him. It is what it is. He's younger. It's all good.
Right.
You know? Appreciate the call, Eric. Thank you very much. And let's also be clear about this. Anything that I tweeted, whether it was to Kevin or otherwise, by no means am I positioning the Knicks as a good franchise.
Yeah, I think
Knicks are a complete joke.
Well, let me ask you this. How many people defended KD versus, because it's not like you were actually,
you weren't even
on the same side, really. I mean, we put a poll up, though. What's the poll results?
Well, the poll, Mike, read the question, because it's a little bit different as to how you're framing it. Then I'll try to answer that more directly. Go ahead, Mike.
So just simply put, KD fires back at her own Brandon Tierney and other Knicks fans on Twitter last night. How do you feel about athletes responding directly to fans on social media? So the first one is love the interaction, or they're too sensitive. As of right now, 54% say that they love the interaction with fans, and 45% say players are too sensitive.
Interesting.
See, I didn't take what, well, I guess I could position,
I could see
why some would say that was a little sensitivity, but to me, on Kevin's part last night, somewhat, I'm not even saying that I really fully, but a little sensitive. But, like, what I don't like is when I see Antonio Brown.
Yeah.
Like, the curses, the off-color language, the...
It's like he's talking to his boys, but you're talking to, you know, 50,000, 100,000 people or more.
Like 350 million just in our country.
That's right.
I mean, forget about, in theory. It's a bad look, and it's the low-hanging fruit, and I think it makes us dumber. It makes us more aggressive.
You're right.
It makes us meaner, unnecessarily.
Yeah, when you have an off-color, lowest common denominator conversation.
I ignore those,
you got to ignore those. D-Cell, you followed a lot of this because you were the one that pointed it out. BT had no idea. BT was chilling.
He's trying to mind my own business. Kevin Durant pulled me into a feud.
What was the consensus?
I read just about every response to every tweet.
What?
Yeah. I went right through it.
Wow.
It was probably close to 50-50, though, in response of having KD's back or giving
what
him
were
jabs.
The defenses of KD? Because at its essence, BT basically said, you could have gone to the Mecca, meaning the New York Knicks, and dominated New York.
Mm-hmm.
Instead, you didn't take your shot and you went to Brooklyn, where nobody cares about.
Or not as many people.
Not as many people care. Yeah, people will start to care. I mean, especially when he and Kyrie are playing and they're good, then people will care. But you know what I mean.
Yeah.
What was their defense of KD for not going to the Knicks?
That KD, the person, can do what's best for him and what he thinks.
Yeah.
Wouldn't disagree with that.
Point.
It's common sense.
Yeah. And that's
I think a lot of it as well, you know, the few that I saw, because you start reading those, you'll be there all night, was the Dolan thread, the commonality of Dolan.
Yeah.
Like, why would he want to go play for Dolan? Could you blame him?
That's the
answer there is no.
Yeah. As I followed it a little bit, that's what I got too. It's like, of course you're not. Of course you're going to go. If you're going to come to New York, right now, regardless of where the state of either of these teams are, you're going to the Nets because you don't trust where Dolan's going or what he's done in the past.
Or you fear the stage.
See, I don't think that's it at all.
I don't, hey, listen, man.
If, I don't think that's it, know, it at
if,
all.
If Billy Joel misses a note at the Garden versus missing a note at a little piano bar in Brooklyn Heights,
yeah,
a little different.
You know what? You're still there. You're still there, and you're still watching it. And that's KD's point.
Here's the question, real quick, before we go to break. The fact that he's in Brooklyn, he's still facing the same media. He's still facing
No, he's not. But that's not accurate. No, he's not. That's not true. Let me tell you why.
I mean,
let me tell you why, and I'll certainly let you finish. Down the hall, 15 feet to my right is WFAN. Mm-hmm. Our right is WF. Joe and Evan took over for Francesa. Now, I don't know what they led with. Well, they led with Joe Judge for sure. They're playing Joe Judge's press conference.
Yep.
When the Nets don't win, or the Nets, there's like dysfunction or concern, like Kyrie, they don't lead shows with the Nets. If this was the Knicks and Kyrie Irving was on the Knicks and he had the shoulder issue and Durant was tweeting, they would be the lead. That's the difference. The Nets have less eyeballs, less reporters, and less interest. Now, that might change in a generation or two. I can't predict that. Right now, Evan Roberts is the only one who cares at FAN. That's it.
You're right that they have fewer than the Knicks, but they have more than 90% of the teams in the NBA probably still.
Yeah,
they're still in the New York market. The fan is not talking about Giannis. They're talking about the Nets when they can.
But BT was talking about Knicks versus Nets.
Correct. Right, no, but what I'm saying is that while they're not the Knicks, they're still in New York.
Oh,
and
there's
still that market. There's still
you're absolutely
the papers
right.
and the reporters that are there. There's still the scrutiny and those fans who are still New Yorkers, Brooklynites.
I'm not rejecting that at all.
So he didn't necessarily – it's not like he turned away the Knicks to go to, like, I don't know, Milwaukee or Orlando. Mm-hmm. He's still in Brooklyn.
Can you imagine if he'd went to Milwaukee?
So there's still some level of not shying away from
it. They win, like, six in a row.
But it's more like the Islanders or the Devils. I know the Islanders are good, but it's more like you're playing for the Islanders or the Devils.
Right, but again, it's like instead of going to the Rangers, he didn't go to, like, the Phoenix Coyotes. Right, he went to the Islanders. It's still New York.
Yeah,
it's not the Rangers, but it's still New York.
But it's different levels of criticism and attention. I mean, it really – listen, you measure – what do we say in radio? Play the hits. The reason why you don't lead with how the Nets did last night, if you're FAN, because it's not a hit.
Yeah.
Because that's not what delivers ratings. The Nets don't deliver ratings.
It will.
The Yankees do. The Jets, the Giants do.
Yep.
Dysfunction coaches. That's what does – you know, the Yankees, the Mets. Not the Nets.
Yeah. But next year, if they lose – 7, 8, 9, 10 in a row?
Yeah.
That'll be a story.
Talking about the Nets.
The Nets.
And that will be handled differently because Kevin Durant will be on the court. And I know it was Jersey, but, you know, even when they were going to the finals, and that team was fun. Alley-oop and J-Kid, cool unis. They brought back the ABA Dr. J uniforms.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, you had a couple of Sopranos characters going because that's when the Sopranos was on. I mean, it didn't ripple, and you were playing at that point.
I went to a playoff game.
I know you told me.
Yeah,
it just. Well, of course, this guy. No, Nets are good. Let me go.
But it was across the parking lot.
I hear you, but it didn't ripple.
No,
I mean it just didn't ripple the way a New York or a New Jersey team you would think would. All right, maybe we'll get Evan Roberts in here. I just saw him look into the wind. Get Evan in here if he's got something.
He's got a show going on.
Whatever. Have Benigno do a segment. He could do it. Get Evan. I see Evan right there. Get him in. We'll get him in. We'll see what he thinks. He's the only Net fan in the building. The only one on air. All right, let's get Axe update. We'll see what's going on there. Inbounds, out of bounds is after that. Jason Lock and Fora. As we get to the divisional matchups, Joe Judge's press conference. Ack is right now. Here he is.
Hey, stay in touch with Tiki and Tierney all the time. Just find our podcast. Go to radio.com and the radio.com app or cbssportsradio.com, iTunes, or anywhere you can get a podcast. So never miss a beat with your boys, Tiki and Tierney. Tiki is off tomorrow. He's going to it's a small world. Going to Disney to run the marathon.
26.2.
Love it, man.
And Brooklyn's going to run in some, I think it's either a 200-meter. She might do the mile one, but I doubt it. I think she's going to do the kids' 200-meter run.
But she doesn't know that you guys are going. So don't, in case the TV is on.
she's at school.
Oh,
right
she's at school. That's right.
Oh, she's just getting home from school. She might be watching. Well, okay, shut up then.
No, Daddy's really not going to Disney. Just kidding, sweetheart. By the way, since Tika is out tomorrow, I don't think it will come to fruition, but I just invited Kevin Durant. I just tweeted him. I said, hey, come on the show tomorrow. Hey, Teak is out. We'll send the car for you. We'd love to have you in for a couple hours, chop it up, have a little fun, and maybe it comes. You never know. I mean, quick enough to tweet. Maybe
D-Cell was like, whose car are we sending? D-Cell, you're
going
to go pick him up.
That's right.
In your car.
I'll pay for it if that's what it takes. I mean, like, he needs my money, but I'll send the car for Kevin Durant for sure. That's a respectable thing to do.
Let's have your dad bring him over. He's in Brooklyn.
Yeah, that's a good that's idea. True. My dad might be working tomorrow. My dad still works.
Retired detective.
That's right, but he works at the school.
Oh, wait.
The junior college.
Sergeant.
That's only when I'm trying to get out of a ticket. We got to bump up his...
you got to impress KD, don't you?
That's true.
We're going to have a retired sergeant come pick you up, KD.
He'll give you a nice ride down to our studio. So maybe Durant's in here tomorrow. Who knows? You ready for a little inbounds, out of bounds?
Let's do it.
Let's go.
Anything can happen in sports and often does. What's right? What's wrong? And who's just crazy? We decide. Inbounds and out of bounds now. With Tiki and Tierney.
All right, here we go. The Vikings take on the Niners in the divisional round this week. And after the surprise of the Saints a little bit here in the wild card last week. 7.5-point dogs. But your boy... took the points, also took the money line, so it was pretty good there. However, the Vikings got some bad news after Pro Bowl wideout Adam Thielen got his feet tangled up in practice and required stitches for a bad cut in his ankle. Okay, the team is cautiously optimistic that Thielen can play, and the receiver addressed the injury today on Good Morning Football.
Got a little tangled up in practice, but I'm going to do whatever it takes. You know, it's playoffs, so I'm going to do whatever it takes to be out there on Saturday with my teammates and trying to help the team win.
All right, just for the record, officially listed as questionable. And again, that was on NFL Network, Good Morning Football. So the Vikings do need Thielen to play if they hope to win in San Francisco.
Inbounds, BT. We know how good the San Francisco 49ers defense is, and Kirk Cousins and this Vikings offense needs every single weapon possible. But Kurt Schilling played with some ripped up thing in his ankle, and he, you know,
although
I
some think that was embellished, some thought it was ketchup. I'm serious.
I know you're right.
Yankee fans actually think that was ketchup. I don't. For the record.
I mean, whatever it was, Adam Thielen is officially listed as questionable. He's playing because even if he rips it open, who cares? You stitch it back up.
Yeah.
Right. It's the postseason. You only get one shot at this. So inbounds. They need him, and I think he will play.
Yeah. I mean, if it was like a hamstring or soft tissue or, you know, a deep thigh bruise or something. Ooh, okay.
Yeah.
I mean, even if it was like, remember when Irving Fryer sliced open his finger before the Super Bowl?
Yep.
Against the Bears where they got destroyed against the Pats? I mean, if it was a receiver and it was a finger, like a digit, I'd say, all right, that could be a little bit problematic here. But, I think he'll be okay. But to answer the question directly, inbounds, they absolutely need him. I mean, by the way, you know, what do you have, 7 catches for 130 against the Saints? And they barely won that game.
Right.
So what would they have done against the Saints without Thielen, who hold in that beautiful bomb from Kirk Cousins before Kyle Rudolph pushed off, got the touchdown to win it? The answer is inbounds. They would not have beaten the Saints without him, and I do not think that they will beat the Niners without him. Although, I kind of think the Vikings keep this one real tight.
Are you in or are you out?
All right,
which means the line is
That's what I'm implying for sure. Okay. People know me by now. Yeah. They know what I'm getting at there. The Miami Heat are red hot. They've won 8 of their last 10, including a contentious win. This got a little interesting in Indiana over the Pacers last night. Jimmy Butler, he's an OG. Jimmy does not mess around. He's not into mincing words. If he doesn't like you, he's going to tell you.
Yep.
And he went toe-to-toe with Pacers T.J. Warren after some tough physical play. And really, Warren got the worst end of it. He got booted, and Butler was basically laughing at him. And it was a strange, for those who missed it, Butler actually rammed with his shoulder into his chest. Warren, obviously, who's light, but also tried to sell the call, went back about 2 feet. Then he was, barking at the refs, I think justifiably. And then he was a little bit too assertive, and he got bounced. So, and then after the game, Butler had some harsh words for Warren as well.
I think it's tough for him because I can guard him and he can't guard me. I think you just got to watch your mouth in certain situations.
Oh, wow.
There's some that you just don't say as a man. He got to see me the next time because I feel like what he said was truly disrespectful. And it's all good because we see him again. I ain't scared of nobody. So, he's talking about, we're going to fight this, that. He's not even in my league, nowhere near me. Hey. And if I was their coach, I would never put him on me ever again. Put somebody else on me because I'm a tad every time we play. So he's trash.
We always romanticize about the 90s. This guy should be transported to the 90s. My God.
That's scary, man.
It's always scary when somebody is that calm and they say, it's all right, man. I want to see him again. It's all good. I got him.
Yep.
I mean, not even an ounce of fear or trepidation that he would beat the crap out of him. All right, inbounds out of bounds. Butler's a top 3 MVP candidate right now. Teak?
Yeah, I'm gonna say out of bounds here. I love Jimmy Butler.
Me too.
By the way, after the game on Instagram, he posted the schedule and circle the game.
Did he really?
Yes.
Oh, man. Jimmy, TJ, you might want to come up with that little flu.
Yeah, exactly.
Called the Miami Heat flu.
All right, BT. Giannis, minus 120.
Yep.
Luka, plus 375.
They lost a tough one last night. I saw the end of that game. That was a good game.
It was.
They didn't even get the shot at the end. They lost by, I think it was two against Denver.
James Harden, plus 550. Yeah. LeBron, plus 800. Those are the current odds for the MVP. Jimmy Butler, as great as he is for the Miami Heat, they moved up to second. He's not winning the MVP, so I'm going to say out of bounds.
He's not winning it. There's just too many names who are just superior right now statistically. And then if you wanted to take, like, you know, you throw out the odds, so I'll kind of keep it with that theme. Mm-hmm. If I wanted to throw, and I don't
like
bet.
Like a dark horse?
Yeah, like a dark horse. I don't even engage in this. I'm just, like, for a reference point. You know, maybe Kawhi Leonard, maybe somebody like Siakam.
I think he was plus 1,500.
Yeah, I mean, but there's just too many names. And based on the question, there's just, it's like a team that is, maybe four games out of a wild card in late September or mid-September, but there's five teams in front of them. Yeah. There's just too many hurdles to hop over, even if you're not, in theory, that far away. So Jimmy's a terrific player, and he's made that franchise good again. But no, he's not winning anything this year out of bounds, except maybe best, most believable trash talker.
Are you in or are you out?
How about this? The Mississippi State Bulldogs were looking for a new head coach after firing Joe Moorhead last week. And reports say the SEC school has landed former Texas Tech and Washington State head man. You know we're going to like this because we like this guy.
I love this guy.
Mike Leach. Leach is always good for a nice soundbite or two.
We're a very soft team. We get a lot of good press. We like to read it a lot. We like to pat ourselves on the back. They're fat, dumb, and happy and entitled.
That was a good one. Or maybe sometimes he shows some teeth and he actually rips a reporter.
You run your mouth and your little column and stuff like some sanctimonious troll where, you know, you've never been fair or even-handed with us, so I really don't care what you think.
Or
nice.
Even this odd one about animals, cats.
Somebody said that in passing, you know, one of the, I hate cats, you know, somebody really hates cats. And I've never figured that one out. Credit to cats, the ability to generate that much animosity. And I'm not sure how close of a relationship some of these people are planning to have with a cat or why they would value the opinion of a cat. I'm indifferent about cats.
Well, it's probably good he's not coaching, like, the LSU Tigers.
I know.
At least he's coaching the Mississippi State Bulldogs, so he can stay with the dogs if he does hate the cats,
which
I don't think he does.
This is awesome. I think we're on the same page here, BT.
He's incredibly unique. Let me read the question. I think you're right. He's 139. 9-90 as a college head coach, though he's faced various controversies, especially during his time with the Red Raiders. So Mike Leach is a good fit for Mississippi
State. Yeah, I'm going to say inbound, mainly because his offense, which is fully air raid, it's wide ass open, will help Mississippi State at least compete, at least try to, with some of these big-time powers in the SEC, LSU, Georgia, Alabama, etc. We know all of them. And it might entice recruits. Or quarterbacks who know, look, I'm going to lead the league in passing. I'm going to lead the nation in passing in this type of offense. I'm going to go here. My favorite, the most recent, I should say, favorite of the recent ones, Twitter memes that he put out was awesome.
Maybe it did.
It says, if I had a dollar for every woman who found me unattractive, they'd find me attractive.
That's great. They do like the men with, with the good bank accounts. That's great. That is so profound.
I know.
That
is
really well done. He's an interesting cat. I mean, dog.
Yeah.
He really is. And by the way, the rivalry for the Egg Bowl with Ole Miss, Lane Kiffin. I mean, this is great for the conference.
I think you're right.
This is great for Mississippi State.
Yep.
You know, that's a job. You know, we saw what Dak did there. They had a nice season, but it's sporadic success.
Mm-hmm.
It's intermittent success. It's hard to sustain it there. So you need somebody creative, an out-of-the-box thinker, somebody unique and innovative. He checks all those boxes. Great hire. I think he's gonna do very well. I like it.
I do, too.
Tune in next time for another edition of Inbounds or Out of Bounds with Tiki and Tierney.
So Santa asked me, who would I rather play for, Lane Kiffin or Leach?
I would love Leach because he'd keep me entertained.
I don't know if you're entertained if you're one of his players.
Because he holds you to account also.
What's that?
Like, he holds you to account. It's not like he's just quirky guy and he's dead serious about winning and losing. And if you are messing around or not playing well, he's going to let you know.
Yeah.
And that's important on the college level. Sometimes these coaches get too buddy-buddy on the college level.
Interesting. All right, get us on Twitter at Tiki and Tierney, at Tiki Barber, at Brandon Tierney. Coming up, big hour, diving into the NFL, divisional matchups, Jay Salonk and Fora. How did Joe Judge do today? His opening press conference. Was it better than Matt Rhule? Was it believable? Did it work? Tiki and Tierney, hour two, coming up.
We really need new phones.
T-Mobile will cover the cost of four amazing new iPhone 15s, and each line is only $25 a month.
New iPhone 15s? It's better
over here. Only at T-Mobile, get four iPhone 15s on us and four lines for $25 per line per month with eligible trade-in when you switch.
Minimum of 4 lines for $25 per line per month with auto pay discount using debit or bank account. $5 more per line without auto pay, plus taxes and fees. Phone fee at 24 monthly bill credits for well qualified customers. Contact us before canceling account to continue bill credits or credit stop and balance on required finance agreement due. $35 per line connection charge applies. See T-Mobile.com.